Who would be the greatest guest to have on this podcast?
Hillary Duff.
Steve Harvey.
Trump.
Man, I was very excited to do this podcast. That answer just went so many different directions. No, let's not get into that. But let's get into it.
So many questions.
For me?
Just both of you.
I said Trump. I'm not Republican or Democratic.
It's okay if you are.
But it's okay if you are.
Yeah.
Nowadays, being Republican is like being in the closet.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm not either. I just think he is very super outspoken.
Mm.
And like, we're three brown people. Mm-hmm. So I think it would just be like a really interesting dynamic.
The clips would do well.
Yeah. He'd be like, you brown people, I don't agree with you guys, but...
It would be a promo for him because he's about to have Vivek as his vice president, probably.
You think so?
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he was sucking him off hard.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you with Vivek?
I don't know about him. You know, remember when it was Andrew Yang and there was hype around, oh, yeah, he's like, you know, a tech guy and he's an immigrant and this and that. And then he just started being really weird. And I was like, I can't trust anybody.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
I mean,
his energy is very snaky.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
It's just like, well, if you look at this, I can fix this.
Yeah.
Americans want that. I'm like, I don't know if I believe you.
Yeah. I like his debates, though. Like, some people go off on him, and then he's like, I agree with you. And then, like, he'll just, like, fight back or whatever. But
yeah, it seems like one of those kids that are... I almost know what his childhood was like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It was one of those kids that in school he was just like, okay, you're right, but you're annoying.
Yeah, yeah.
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 And it was like, you're not reading the room properly. And also, I don't know. And that's not how you should choose a president. I don't know
what you're talking about. But I feel like,
I don't know what to do anymore.
Yeah.
Is it racist to say that I'm having a problem with like, Indians in multiple ways?
You don't
these
want
Indian men that are in like powerful positions, like apparently Wayfair put out this statement saying, and it's from the CEO who's an Indian guy, and he said, hey guys, the company's doing really well, so just expect to be working way more. And not only are you working way more, like it's okay for like your personal life and your work life to be completely intermingled because like you should be finding happiness from your work.
Yeah. Yeah, that's racist.
Is it?
Yeah, Jeff Bezos does that all the time.
No. But I understand, like, because I have a bunch of friends and all of them complain about their work. And you know what the factor...
You have a bunch of friends that do what?
That like work in different places.
But what's the connecting factor?
The connecting factor is all they hate their work, by the way. They hate their job.
Yeah.
And they find it annoying. And they work in different fields. The main connecting factor is all their bosses are Indian.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
They call them while they're out at work. They call them when they're out on vacation. They're like, you're supposed to be working. It's like, dude, it's like 11 p.m.
Oh, they value work.
Yeah,
life,
they're always working. They always value. They're like overdoing it. No emotion. They don't hang out with their families. Like they're just like work, work, work. And they expect everyone else in their team to do that. So if you're Indian, relax.
He said, working long hours.
Dog Indian hair.
His name is Niraj Shah. He said, working long hours, being responsive, blending work and life is not anything to shy away from, Shah said in the email. There's not a lot of history of laziness being rewarded with success. Hard work is the essential ingredient in any recipe for success. I embrace this and most successful people I know do well. So he sent like this company-wide email. And so everybody's like, hey, I really, you know, looked up to this guy, but I'm going to stop buying from Wayfair until he steps down from being CEO for just like completely lacking work-life balance. It's one thing to think. It's another thing to tell your employees like, hey, fuck your personal life. It's over. start working full time.
But respect for the hustle.
Okay.
you know, when you were explaining that, it was very like Trump-esque the way that you were saying it. I have a lot of friends. They work in a lot of fields.
They're all Indian.
They're brown men. You said what?
Hillary Duff.
I would love Hitler.
We just not speak. We just stare like Indian guys. I gotta stop.
Premium milk.
Yeah, I'm gonna take it back, but I want to have one inspired by Shamir. I'm gonna go Candace Owens.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Do you like Candace Owens?
The thing is, it's split down the middle. I fucks with Candace Owens heavy. Whoa, but at the same time. No, like it feels wrong that I like her. Does that make sense? Because I don't think that she would stand for it, but a lot of things she be saying these days kind of hit. I'm like, you be saying something, but
you don't want to like her because she's conservative or what?
No, she does say some wild shit sometimes, like, but it's also funny, right? Like, I'm appreciative of people who say wild shit, but if they're funny with it. She just made an entire video calling Ariana Grande a hoe and saying she's a complete homewrecker, and that she wants to offer courses for hoes to reform them, and she wants Ariana Grande to lead those classes because she is the biggest hoe and the biggest homewrecker, and that she is open about it and she doesn't care. And that she needs to be, like, reformed.
That's a fire idea.
It was like, can you even hate that? Because that's so funny.
It's creative.
So creative.
I remember one of our mutual friends, actually, she was really upset at me for following Candace Owens on Twitter.
Mm.
And what you're saying is basically that, like, you're getting certain information from Candace Owens that is irrelevant to what you care about her opinion for.
Mm-hmm.
As in, you are going to listen to Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be with a view of like Ariana Grande's morals and principles.
No.
Right? That's like when you are looking to Ben Shapiro for music advice and he's reading WAP and how his wife's private areas are dry as hell. Well, he didn't say dry as hell, but he said that they're not wet. And he was talking about the song WAP. Like, you're not going to have fun with Ben Shapiro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you go to different people for their takes and perspectives on things. And Candace Owens, if you don't agree with her, has a perspective. Mm-hmm. And you can at least get it. But Sometimes we look at a person and think that, like, everything that they say is important. And it's like, you don't have to mark off these people because they have horrible takes on, like, art.
Yeah. I also think it, politically it's different. Like, people view it different because they're, like, political figures or whatnot. And so one thing they say damages everything else they say. And I feel like that's not the case with, like, other, you know, celebrities and whatnot.
She's, like, dead ass about it, too. And so I feel like there needs to be a subsection of comedy where people are being dead ass, but it's just so funny. Like, put her on a stage. Like, you don't think there's a stand-up special.
You don't think there's some part where she, like, knows she's joking?
I'm sure she knows it's entertaining.
Because, like, that's the same thing I see with, like, Andrew Tate and stuff. Like, when he's, like, serious, but, like, he says things that is so, like, striking where people just take it out of context and they're like, oh, he said this, you know, and stuff like that. I feel like this is the same, like, realm. But Andrew Tate knows. He, like, says it. He, like, I know that I'm joking around or whatever.
Yeah. But with TikTok culture, everybody was in the comments like, damn, Candace Owens ate with this. Like, that's funny. She kind of ate her up. Like,
We also are seeing a lot of cultural, like, overlap now, which is weird because our individual platforms are becoming the go-to media platforms. As in, I've seen Candace Owens on the Nelk Boys on Full Send podcast. And a couple of years ago, you wouldn't expect that. You would see Candace Owens on CNN and Fox and whatever else. And a lot of those networks are losing credibility. But somebody like Aiden Ross can randomly have some big, you know, like if somebody just was a prisoner of war or something, like Aiden Ross could probably pull. That's the state that we're at currently. And this is literally happening. It's literally happening.
Yeah.
You know, big, like, even anchors are leaving their networks and starting their own thing. Like, Tucker Carlson was on Theo Von's podcast.
That's funny.
And he's talking about how he drinks and puts in, I forget what the thing is. It's something with a Z, but it's like...
Zine? The it's little like tin can thing.
It's like dip.
Zen, right?
Zen?
Yeah. I think
Zen.
What is that?
I think it's dip nicotine or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they, like, he was gifted by the Full Send podcast, like a huge tin of it.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't be allowed to behave that way if you were in one of these kind of like corporate news networks.
I understand it too, because the politicians need to get to the kids now. Like they know that they're the next generation that will vote. They have the strongest power like coming soon. And I felt it on like my own, I think. I think Andrew Yang was on some of these podcasts like way back, like 4 years ago. He's coming
AOC
on.
Was on.
AOC was on Twitch. She was playing. She wasn't even like talking about anything political. She was just playing.
She was playing
Among Us.
Among Us. Yeah.
Among Us with like everybody. And I'm like, oh, like, and that's when I started getting interested. I was like, oh, cool. Like, that's dope, you know? And then I like know of her because of that and stuff like that.
Think about it. These YouTube channels, TikTok pages, Twitch streams are getting way more numbers than the TV shows.
That's true.
Like sometimes they'll be doing Super Bowl numbers. Like,
yeah. Like every Mr. Beast video does more than the Super Bowl, which is crazy.
Wait,
and
what?
Yeah, literally. Like Super Bowl is like 80, 90 million viewers, I think, on the day of. And then Mr. Beast like surpasses that consistently.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah.
Internationally.
Internationally, yeah.
So if you know that somebody has that kind of a pull, why wouldn't you go where, you know, the kids are?
Yeah. And I think those are more valuable. I don't want to say like valuable, but like they're more valuable because, you know, they'll develop, you know, their own like thinking and mindset. So it's like politically they'll get more involved.
It's better than like going to a network where you're like aware that there's some sort of bias, as opposed to somebody that you just enjoy watching naturally in a not so persuasive manner.
Unfiltered. You're seeing all their sides. And then you realize when I hear these people on the podcasts of some of my favorite creators, I'm like, oh, you're seeing their humanity. You're seeing that like they also have like these quirks and funny sides to them. They talk about their family. They talk about their pet peeves, like whatever it might be.
It's crazy that like the previous generation, you're supposed to like be so professional and put your like best foot forward. You can't like damage your image. But it seems like now we want like the raw and real stuff. So they kind of do the opposite. They like tell their like, you know, wrong things and stuff. It makes you like them more.
I'd been teaching for some time and now I just see teachers on TikTok. They're recording themselves and what they're teaching their students and stuff. And I was like, what kind of reality am I in? Like, this is so, I wouldn't ever, you know, I remember back then when it was like, if you found your teacher's Facebook or something, it was like, oh my God.
It was weird seeing your teacher out, like when you were like out in public and you saw them, you're like, what? You have a life outside of this? Like, it was just crazy.
And now you can literally go on their Instagram. Some of them, bro, they have OnlyFans.
No.
Have you heard of this?
That's not possible. That's not possible.
Yeah.
That's not okay.
She got fired.
Good.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, this is, I mean, a lot of people have their online personas and other, you know, ways of making money.
Yeah. I've actually played Xbox with my science teacher before.
Really?
Yeah, it was dope. But this was like back
during the semester?
Yeah, during the semester. It was like a Thursday night and he was like on Xbox Live. I hopped on and then we played like Call of Duty and Halo together. It was cool.
We had this teacher when I was in high school and she ended up going on the Jerry Springer show.
Oh.
And while she was working at the school. And she was
she in baby mama drama?
No, she was like, Jerry, I'm a lesbian and I don't care. Like, I'll tell the world. And then she was like wearing like the like this like bra and she was like making out with this girl and wiling out. And it passed around on Facebook. They're like, this is that teacher, this is that teacher. Because whole time she looked like she was like a closet. You know, like you can tell that teachers like low key have like a life outside of school. Like they have that kind of image. She like wore these glasses and like always had these busty tops
on. What
do
you mean wore these glasses?
You know, like the slut glasses.
What are the slut glasses?
The Mia Khalifa glasses?
Yeah, like that type of
energy. Oh, like it wasn't the big nerdy glasses,
like the Velma.
Yeah, like you like know those jinkies, glasses jinkies. Come off.
Let
you
me
know?
See what's under this desk.
And she
zoinks. Zoinks. Scoop.
Yeah, she got fired
from that.
Yeah, because of the Jerry Springer show. Yeah, because she was wiling out, and she was a special ed teacher. So they were like, "Yeah, no," she got fired.
Wow, good for her.
Yeah, good for her.
I said Steve Harvey. I don't know if we're still talking about this.
Why?
I don't know. It's the first person that came to my mind, but I would love to talk with Steve Harvey. I think he's a really funny character. He looks like Mr. Potato Head and He's just like, I love him on Family Feud specifically. Like his reactions to things, like it'll just be like a deadpan he has. Somebody says something and he's like, and he'll just start moving. Like his whole body's just moving, but his face is doing nothing.
Yeah.
And then he's like, butt naked. and then he makes fun of the guests.
Yeah, yeah.
I just feel like anything we would tell him, he would just sit there in silence and shock for a while. And then he would make fun of us.
Okay, yeah. Let's vote on one.
Hmm.
I think Candace Owens would be the most.
Yeah, I want to know more about her.
Mm.
Yeah.
I was hoping we were going to vote for Steve Harvey because then I was going to tell Steve Harvey to bring Lori Harvey and that way she can bring me the list of dudes that she's going to end up being with.
I think that if it was Trump or Steve Harvey, it would be a Trump or Steve Harvey show.
Yeah.
Like
they would take over.
Yeah.
But I think Candace Owens would like hear us out and give like some, you know, valuable.
I'm going to add a fourth option. Lori Harvey.
No.
I care to know nothing about her.
How is Michael Jordan? Michael B. Jordan.
I actually get all of my Lori Harvey news from Future Songs, so I already know everything I need to know.
And it's always just heartbroken.
Welcome back to Strange Flavors. The strangest and greatest podcast in the game.
Woo!
Guys, that was so gross. Don't ever do that again.
Come on. We're supposed to do it.
Oh, sorry.
We've gotten better over time. Last week, I remember I was a little bit thrown off when he joined me, but now that we're in sync.
We're in sync. You have to be in
sync. You have to be in sync.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Run the tap water. Get in the sink.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
Damn.
Amber actually doesn't like a lot of things about this entire show. Don't know why she still volunteers to do this, but she's here and we love her. And I'm just trying to say nice things because she had a cry session before this.
Don't out me.
Well, the listeners know that you've had plenty of cry sessions.
This is true.
Say something about crying, why it's necessary to get out, how you feel afterwards. The endorphins maybe, right?
I think what's important about crying is setting the right tone, right? So if you know that you need to cry, you need to set the right tone. Like taking a shower, listening to certain music.
Oh, that's why you took a shower before?
Yeah, I just needed...
Was it a warm shower?
It was a hot shower.
Okay.
And then, like, this is a thing that people don't really realize. The lighting of the room matters that you're in. Like... Yeah. Overhead lighting will make me lose my shit.
Like you see bright white light like we have right now.
I just break down. There's nothing more that I hate than overhead lighting.
This is real. This is very real.
Yeah. It actually causes me like a certain level of discomfort the entire time it's on.
Right.
But having like...
That's why you hate it here.
Yeah.
The little light is always better than the overhead light.
I have some news for you. No matter where this podcast goes, we always have to have this kind of lighting.
Well, we can have more this way.
Yeah, I guess.
As opposed to just like
maybe we'll do it in the dark.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I love it.
With candles.
What if it was like a glow in the dark podcast?
Everyone's like trying to squint their eyes and see.
Just black light.
Yeah. All you see is like the teeth moving.
Yeah, yeah.
And if your teeth aren't white enough, then you're not on the podcast. The mics. Glow in the dark.
Ooh. Cute. Nail polish.
You could literally take a nap. Nobody would know.
Yeah.
You could lay down. You could do whatever you want.
Yeah. Well, I hope if you're crying because you're also deep into seasonal depression, that you make it out.
Do you think men need to cry more?
Absolutely. I think you guys would.
Let's see it. Yeah. They don't need to cry.
Yeah.
All right, this is me. This is me crying right now.
Okay.
He's crying.
Wait. Do you want me to cry?
Yeah.
I'll literally cry right
okay,
now.
Okay, let's wait. Hold on. Let's see this. Uh-huh. Okay. Uh-huh. I'm going to cry before you cry. Guys, wait. Stop.
I can feel it.
I'm literally going to cry. Stop.
Wait, his eyes are getting watery.
Wait, if I see you cry, I'm going to cry.
Are you, like, thinking of, like, bad things?
Wait, I'm gonna cry.
He's just staring at Amber's face.
I think he needs to dry his eyes out. No, I'm literally crying, guys. Shit. Wait,
I think he needs to look at your face, and that's how he starts crying.
No.
I was almost there. I can feel the water.
Amber won the battle.
Yeah, I'm literally crying now.
Yeah, but hers is real. I was acting, and so it's more difficult.
What was your technique? You just had to look at Amber's face, or...
I just had to go there.
Where?
I was thinking about like a dimly lit room.
Yeah.
A hot shower. Mm. No, I wasn't thinking about anything besides like, I think I can cry on command. I've never tried it, but I think I can.
You can't even cry not on command.
When I believe I'm something, I become it.
Oh God.
I'm not kidding.
Oh my God.
I think I can do it. Like sometimes when we're doing like our like comedy sketches and stuff like that, like I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I have to be taken out.
Method acting.
You just need to dry your eyes out a little bit and just like
no.
Turn stone cold.
No, you got to believe it.
I have to believe. If I do that, if I like, oh, dude, put some lubrication in your eyes or whatever they do, I'm not there.
Yeah,
I need to be there. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Take like really deep breaths.
No, you're not. I know that for you, you can probably imagine something. You can probably just think about like, oh, yeah, life. Well, you said you're in seasonal depression, so I'm just saying out loud like, oh, yeah, like life sucks. Like outside of this podcast.
Uh-huh.
And then
cry.
You're just like, well, oh, shit.
Shit.
Like reality.
You know?
I'm going into more fantasy.
Mm.
But I make the fantasy become my reality.
Yeah. I think you guys would be better people if you cried more. Guys as a whole.
Yeah. All right. you know, something that might...
It's like
you
a
see,
whip.
You see, I'm in like a zone right now. Like before we hit record, during when we hit record, it's like I'm in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm in right now.
If you guys don't know, like Frost did like a very quick like finger it was rotation.
So cartoonish.
It was like a Pakistani like, and now we turn to cricket. So I don't know why I was trying to segue. it doesn't really need a segue, but on the way here, something else happened to me that I have realized that Baltimore City is a very magical place.
Okay.
Okay.
Some people go to Disney World.
You go to Baltimore.
Some people go to New York, the City of Lights.
Yeah.
Some people go to Hollywood.
Yeah.
If you come to Baltimore, Maryland, it is just as magical. Just now on the drive here, I was stopped by a homeless man holding a Muppets hand thing, right? No. What's his name? Kermit. And he was going like this. Give me money. Give me money.
Yo, that's amazing.
And I was like, he was in front of my car. And then
Please tell me you gave him money.
I would go bankrupt for that,
man. Yeah.
So actually, I didn't realize what I was doing. But what I did, he was staring at me. And I was actually reaching into my like lunchbox. I usually eat like nuts after the gym. So I was reaching in to grab some nuts. And this is kind of my natural... like sequence of things that I do when I'm thoroughly entertained by something is, oh, I got to see this through and start eating. Right. So I think what he thought was
you were going to give him the nuts.
I was going to give him the nuts.
That's what I thought.
Yeah,
too.
Why would you wait for us?
And I should have.
Yeah.
But I forgot that. Like I forgot.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I was like, oh, he wants money. I don't have any money.
So and you take out food in front of a homeless man and just start eating in his face?
A starving homeless man, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even think about it. I was literally...
What's going on?
He's flexing on him like...
I got dinner and a show at a stoplight. I didn't even think about it. I thought that it was one of those...
I thought he was going to start feeding it to Kermit. Yeah.
Oh my God, to Kermit. That would have been good. Maybe next time, because this happens often. Often, I'm actually so used to running red lights at this point, because you're not allowed to... Hear me out. You're not allowed to stop at stoplights.
What do you mean?
In the city. They will honk at you. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Go.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, right. I have to go. So then when I go back home, I'm just like, I forget sometimes. And there's cameras there. So sometimes I'll get a ticket. I'm like, this is not part of my culture anymore.
Yeah.
It is, you know, you're supposed to run these red lights. Sometimes... And this has happened about 3 times. There's a man in a wheelchair that thinks that he's in a car.
Wait.
And so he actually follows like the road rules. and like he has turn signals, you're not allowed to pass him. Well, he like look back and like wave at you, but I'm like, brother, you're going extremely slow.
Yeah,
like we have to be able to pass you. And he's like next to the cars, like waiting. Like he could roll, like he could just roll. You yeah. know what I mean? He could go on the sidewalk, but he's like with the cars. When they move, he moves. And so sometimes that holds me up. The best thing that I saw, I don't know if it's the best thing, the most bizarre thing
okay.
is the correct thing to say. But at this point, all of it just becomes entertainment, right?
Yeah.
I'm at my daily Dunkin' coffee run. And a homeless man comes in front of the drive-thru. I'm waiting my turn. And he pulls down his pants. And then without squatting, he actually vertically, standing up straight, starts taking a shit.
What?
That's impressive.
That's so impressive.
Yeah.
The thing I was, let's say, most impressed by is that he actually squatted down to drop his pants, stood back up, started taking a shit.
Was it liquidy?
It was solid. It was like when you're what? Watching a horse.
That's crazy.
It's just dropping down into his pants.
And is he doing this like because he's in front of you? Like, does he hate you? Or
he
like,
he doesn't even know that there's a world that exists around him. I think he's okay. on extreme drugs, clearly.
Yeah.
And he's doing this. Everything's dropping into his pants. And then normally I would throw up. But I was so intrigued by the question of what will he do now?
Yeah.
He's done plenty already. Will he wipe? Is that something yeah. that you do? If he did wipe, he would just pull his pants back up to more shit.
Yeah. So what'd he do?
He pulled his pants back up to more shit. He didn't even like do anything with, he was just done and then pulled him back up. And then what I liked was that his friend who was with him, he kind of went off into the bushes while to like let him to give him some privacy. And then as soon as he pulled his pants back up, he came back. I felt like I was being disrespectful.
Yeah, because you were watching. His yeah. friend at least gave him room to shit in his pants.
Right. It was just that he was in the drive-thru in front of me. And then
you walked into the drive-thru to do this?
That's right.
You know, I'm as a constantly constipated person, I'm very jealous of him.
But you won't believe what happened next. I got my coffee. And then you know what coffee does to you, right?
Yeah, it makes you shit.
Right. So then I pulled I went next to him and I did the same thing.
Okay, good.
And I showed him how it's done, but mine sprayed.
Oh. Nice. Yeah. Did it also go into your pants?
No, it sprayed. Yeah. And then I had to use the windshield wiper.
Oh.
On my butt.
You're fucking disgusting.
he was nice because he didn't like shit on the floor. And then you didn't have to like, you know, go around the shit
yeah.
or whatever. So he actually did you a favor.
Yeah, I didn't think about it like that.
Yeah,
I'm grateful.
When we were kids in Pakistan, there would be like piles of shit that buffaloes would have as they walk along, and like we
is that your relatives or are you real
no,
buffaloes?
No, like real.
Okay, I'm just asking.
Like people have cows,
right?
We have buffaloes.
Okay, so that's your cousins like are not source. Buffaloes.
No, okay. These are real buffaloes.
Real buffaloes, not humans.
And the way that they poop is very much like a splat. You know, it's like splat. Right? It's like fat and round and then like, you know, and there was a game that we used to have if you had to take a shit that you try to match the ring of the shit from the buffalo.
Like you personally.
Not me, but this was a game that would uh-huh. take place like, No, again, I have issues. I probably would if I had the ability to, but they would just like squat in its vicinity and
Is everybody watching the person?
Yeah. Yeah. We would watch.
And then you're trying to recreate?
They would just try to shit on top of the circle.
Like, is this guys and girls?
Yeah, because we were young. Like, under 7.
Y'all didn't have, like, toys? Like, there's no tag? Like,
no, we didn't have toys and seek? To the point where it was, we have to burn our trash because there's not really, like, a waste management system there.
Yeah.
So we'd go to the trash pile for the neighborhood and we'd take sticks and pick up shit that we want to burn. And then almost like a cult, we would walk in a circle and just go, dip, taropa, dip, taropa, because that was the sound of burning bags. It would just burn. And we'd all go in a circle, just burning trash
This is a BBC documentary. This is like a
it's like a Native American tribe
in this tribe in Kashmir puts their own feces on sticks and walks around chanting some sort of cultural bullshit.
Baby diapers would burn the best.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Bags. I actually had a bag that burned on my stick. And you know when a bag burns, it kind of turns plasticky?
Yeah.
It fell and hit my toe. And I moved it off. And till this day, I have a like scar there from...
Dip the rope.
Literally.
If you guys are not subscribed to the Patreon, we're actually going to be playing this game on the Patreon today.
Yeah, so on this couch right here.
And Amber's going to show us how it's done.
Yeah.
And then we will follow in suit with dip, da-ro-pa, dip, da-ro-pa. What does that mean?
It was the sound of the burning bag.
There's no way.
That is not how a burning bag sounds.
It was like, it was like crickling. So we're like, dip, da-ro-pa, dip, da-ro-pa.
There's no way.
I think you're summoning like the Lord of Shit. Like,
yeah, Lord of Shit.
And we would walk around in the pile, around the pile of shit that's all just burning.
I just want to apologize to the listeners right now. We've been talking about feces for the past 15 minutes.
I think this is probably what hell is like. Just walk in circles around shit.
Yeah.
This is something you voluntarily did.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell about the guy in Baltimore, like, yo, bro. I saw what you did last week. You ain't shit. Listen to this.
Yeah.
This girl from Pakistan, like, they got it going on.
Yeah. They occasionally take the shit, mix it with, like, dirt, and they wipe the floors in a rainbow pattern to create a even surface in their houses, in their front yards and houses.
Are you all building houses out of it, like cement?
And no, it's dirt houses.
The right. Houses are made out of shit.
The floors have a mixture of cow shit
and human shit
and dirt.
No human shit.
No human
Well,
shit.
Human shit. Well, aren't you guys case, pooping?
In your family.
The kids are pooping.
No. This wasn't my family. This was like, these were neighborhood like kids.
Okay.
They're not like my family.
But they're like your family. Like you grew up with them.
Aren't y'all like cousins?
I mean, they don't talk to me.
they're like, how are these houses have such strong structures? We want to know the secret. And it's just the kids shitting in the cement.
I mean, those structures do be strong.
That is filthy. I'm not going to lie. That is one of the filthiest things I've ever heard in my life.
You know, those tribes that have like never seen technology ever? Yeah. That sounds like that.
Yeah.
Like, okay, Frost is over here dropping chicks off of a roof, baby chicks, and watching them go splat. Like, I think this is slightly less
okay,
conniving.
That's, like, sociopathic on a personal level. But this is, like, a whole tribe. Like, you know, this is, like, a bunch of people agreeing to doing this.
Yeah.
I would rather be a cannibal than do that.
Yeah. Ew, what? Why did you say that?
Well, I watched this movie recently where this plane crashed in the mountains.
Oh, I heard about this movie.
Yeah, the snow.
Something in the snow or something.
The Snow Society. Society of Snow.
Society of Snow, yeah.
It's a real story.
Mm-hmm.
They crash-landed in between Chile and Argentina, I think.
Yeah, and they were stuck for
the
like,
Andes Mountains.
Yeah.
And they were stuck for like a long time.
72 days?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Wait, and is this an old story?
Yeah.
Yeah, like 90s?
Okay, because I remember hearing
it. It was like
this.
A rugby team.
A rugby team, whoa.
Well, like most of them were.
Mm-hmm.
Like young boys, like 18 to like 25.
Okay.
And in order to survive, they had to eat the people who had died.
This is like Lord of the Flies energy.
Yeah.
Oh, I need to watch that.
Yeah, it is. And that. I think they like made a pact. They were like, I agree for you guys to eat me if I die.
Oh, my God.
Afterwards.
This is like the ones that had already died. Piggy.
Yeah, I don't remember Lord of the Flies that much, but.
It was a really good movie. It was like, it puts you in the situation, like, what would you do?
Yeah.
It's one of those really good ones.
It's on Netflix, right?
Yes. Mm. I just watched it. Actually watched it in Connecticut. I was on my way to New York this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually more scared, not of the New York rats, but what's been happening in the tunnels. I was afraid that a Jewish man would pop up out of the tunnels. and grab me and take me away.
Did that happen?
I was looking out.
Did you see the tunnels?
I didn't see the
did
tunnels.
Did you go in?
But I heard while I was driving, I didn't have any music on, but I heard some
rattle.
Hebrew anthems. I'm kidding. Yeah. They say Baltimore. The Baltimore is scary. I mean, there's tunnels underground. And it's funny because like somebody was like, hey, I'm hearing like people under, and nobody believed them.
Yeah.
Some people were complaining about it, but they were like building these tunnels.
That's crazy.
I just think like I don't know enough about it, like of like what the actual purpose was. I think we're still like waiting on like the actual confirmed details.
Yeah.
There's a few stories going around, but I just think that the irony is just too funny.
Imagine if we had Muslims making tunnels.
I was literally
in America.
Just thinking that. I was like, bro, if Muslims did that, bro, the whole place is getting like annihilated. We're done for. Like,
we're bombing our own country.
They're just done for.
It's the irony after, like, you know how they say in Israel, like the IDF, not saying that there's a correlation between what this is happening in Israel, but you know how they like constantly say like Hamas has tunnels.
Yeah.
Hamas.
They're hiding in like the asbestos in the walls and just like random stuff. They're like, they like went through this girl's lady's closet and she had like underwear in her own closet. And they're like, these women are sluts and like whatever. And it's just the irony of tunnels after all this is so interesting.
I don't even know I think it was made during like COVID or something.
Yeah.
And they were just trying to get around easier or something like that. Or they could go to the synagogue from where they were like lived.
Isn't that containing more germs than the outside?
No, they don't care about that. Like
they don't care about
that. They were like really upset about like the COVID rules and stuff like that.
Oh.
It's like Orthodox Jews that were like very serious.
It's similar to like a lot of people in Pakistan. Like they continue to go to Jummah even though like COVID was going around. People are like, no, it's fine. You don't have to go to Jummah. It's like, you know, we understand or whatever. But it's like their version. They built the tunnels. Maybe we're not religious enough.
Honestly.
We didn't build tunnels.
It's the timing of it is incredible because I don't think that like, there's correlation. I have no idea. But it's just that the timing of this coming out is just like the world is maybe trying to send a little signal here.
Yeah.
And as I think like just sitting back and watching this happen, you're just kind of like, man.
Because like I think it's illegal to just build random tunnels.
It is.
Yeah.
You have to have permits.
Permits, yeah. And then it's through like under like, I think like kids' places.
Causing
and, like,
structural damage.
Structural damage. And then I'm like, all right, why are they still using it if like COVID's not that much of a thing anymore? So like, what is the purpose?
Also, don't you think the tunnels should just like look a little bit better by now?
Like they decorated, like they put a lot of money into it.
Like
it looks like
the
set of Saw like 11.
Like it could, like if you've been spending this much time on it, like make them a little even.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it didn't look very kosher down there.
I think
it wasn't giving kosher at all.
I think they're preparing for something.
You think so? I mean, after seeing that movie we're talking about, Leave the World Behind, I think they're onto something. They're maybe building a bunker.
Bunker, yeah.
I'm into
it. If they're building a bunker, then I agree. Like,
let
them build it. Like, if it's a nice bunker, you know, you pay a membership subscription or something, you get in there, you're good.
Not a membership.
Too many things are being exposed nowadays. It's like almost nothing even surprises me anymore.
Yeah.
I'm just like, rich people are like out of here, bro.
Yeah. Muslims cannot
people in
do
power
that at all.
Like, yeah. I mean, maybe the Saudis.
The Saudis. Yeah.
But on this topic, it's funny because I was in New York. I was doing some work. I was meeting up with some friends. And I caught up with one of our friends who's been on the podcast before, Divya Dubai, Duolingo Divi.
Okay, Per. We love Divi.
And Divya likes to socialize and go out and is, you know, likes to exercise her extroversion. Okay.
Her extroversion is a funny ass way to say that.
Me? Everybody knows that clubs are my favorite environment.
Mm.
I go to the club, and especially as a guy built like a 15-year-old child, it just thrills me to be surrounded by sweaty, giant men who are spilling alcohol on my clothes, and I have no room to move my arms anywhere. People are on all types of different... candies and such things. So it's a great environment, yeah, right? I love it.
Sounds
fun. There.
Yeah. And so much fun that Frost one time fell asleep at the club.
Oh, not one time. Oh. Multiple times. I was going to ask, did you nap?
Yeah.
There wasn't room for me to nap.
Yeah.
Okay. However, this was an event where this DJ goes by the name of DJ Z Muffin. She's this Pakistani DJ who's been on the rise recently. Okay. So she was going to be there. I was like, okay, you know, it sounds pretty cool. One of my other friends really wanted to go. So I was like, okay, yeah, like, let's go. And, you know, down for whatever. And so we went there and, well, it was interesting because there was a lot of like support for Palestine and that energy in the room because there was a lot of like Arabs and Muslims and South Asians there and everybody was in this like sentimental energy. And it was like there was like club music going on and then it was like, yeah, like we're gonna save Palestine. I was like, this is so like bizarre. I mean, I guess like, you know, shout it everywhere you go.
Yeah.
But it was just, it was giving, remember David Guetta, I think it was on the rooftop and he was like, this is for George Floyd's family.
And it was like, boom, and boom, was, boom, boom.
Yeah, like, he's like DJing. It's like, yeah. Like, this is for Black Lives Matter. Boom,
put boom, your boom, hands boom, up. Boom, 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 boom.
So I was
and
like.
And you're just like, wait, am I supposed to be sad? Like, hype? Yeah. Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, and it was like, that's what was going on. And I was looking around and often I actually feel like I look like I'm the highest person at the club because it seems that everybody around me is like on the same page and I'm often like observing, like it's a lot of stimulation. So I'm just like, one, like I'm really feeling the music a lot. Like it's beating through your body in a like you don't get that in other places the same way. The lights, like I'm like observing everything and I just feel like I'm in a zoo. Not saying I'm better than anybody that's there, but I just like, It's fascinating, right? And so I'm looking around. So we got Palestine. We're gonna save. I don't know why I'm doing the accent. David Guetta wasn't there. It was like other people.
I was like, who's British?
Like, I was like looking. I was like, wait. I like kind of smiling, and then like Divya was like, stop. Like this is serious. I was like,
come on, say
like,
it.
I was like, okay, but like come on. This is a little bit. And I mean, she made a good point. She's like, I think the point is like, you know, no matter where you are, like say it, whatever. But then I was like, oh, okay. And then I went with it. And I was like, yeah, like this is for Palestine. Just start like fist bumping.
Did you go like overdo it? Like, yeah, fuck them. Like,
yeah. And then she got really mad. She was like, you're going to get punched. I was like, why? We're going to save Palestine and I am all right.
Oh my God.
I mean, come on. Like that is a little bit funny.
It is, but I think they're like, oh yeah, like, do it wherever spaces you're in, do it. I did see it done tastefully once. I was at the club and this dude wore the kefaya on himself. And so everybody just kind of went up to him, like, dab him, like, I like that. I like that. But yeah, I think when you're starting to mix it up into your set, like, Palestine, might not be the vibe.
Everybody was feeling it. They were, like, with it.
No,
I
understand it. I think, especially in a lot of raves, that's, like, their point. It's like, oh, this is the place where you're, like, happiest. This is, like, the most peaceful place. So they're, like, you know, standing up for, you know, like, a good cause and whatnot. But, yeah, I can imagine, like,
take some shots for Palestine.
Yeah, it's like, yo.
It's a little much.
Yeah.
That's how my weekend went.
Go off, though.
But it was so cool. It was cool. Oh, did you want to bring this up? The trailer dropped for...
Oh, yeah.
A very special person.
Just Rain is back.
Just Rain is back!
Just Rain is back. He's coming out with a new show called Late Bloomer.
Okay.
Did you guys see the trailer?
I did, yeah. I sent it to our group too because I was just like, oh my God. Like, I feel like there's a collective energy amongst brown people that is like this is our king.
Yeah, yeah.
Like when people say like, this is your king, like this is our king.
Yeah, yeah.
Trust me.
Yeah. Just Rain, yeah.
And we're always like, oh, where's Just Rain? When we would get like little sneak peeks of him on like Waleed's TikTok or somewhere random,
yeah.
We were like, oh my God, that king, Just Rain.
And everyone's like, where's Just Rain? Where's Just Rain? For he was like gone for like 2-3 years,
yeah.
Maybe even longer.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, what's happened? There was rumors that he cut his hair, like he went bald. Some people said he got married. Other people, there wasn't.
He said he was working a regular job.
Yeah,
now.
He was working at a studio, like recording studio, and then like, I don't know if any of those are true, but he just comes out with a trailer of the show, and everyone's like, "Yo, this is crazy."
One of the rumors were that he was working on a show.
Yeah.
For a while. So he posted on his Instagram him like peeking, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
So about this trailer, is it about Just Rain as Just Rain? Because I didn't necessarily grasp what was going on.
I think it's similar to, I don't know if you've seen like Dave. Mm-hmm. I think it's Lil Dicky's show. But basically it's like a rough but made up story of like Lil Dicky's life.
Loosely based on his real life is what it seems like.
But I think like some episodes are like maybe taken like directly from life instances and some are like just completely not, just made for the story and whatnot. But to me, this show looks a lot of like those FX shows like Rami.
Right. That's
like,
exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah, like Lil Dicky. This might be like his version of that.
Mm. Which to me personally seems like the best case scenario.
Yeah.
I think I've seen it often where somebody tries to, especially coming from the creation world YouTuber, it's done like not in the most tasteful way. And it's not anybody's fault. I think that sometimes it's hard to rebrand yourself or to continue finding out who or what you are, who your audience is. And I think that this is the best case scenario because it worked so well for the people that you had mentioned. Dave Lil Dicky show as this white guy who's like the whitest it gets, trying to be a professional rapper and be taken seriously. Rami, who has this suburban New Jersey life, trying to figure out where his faith lands and where kind of like all of the American ways play into it and struggling between that. And obviously it being a comedy show, this, it seems like you saw the ring light, you saw that he's talking about himself in a certain way. He obviously has an audience that he's like posting to, which is very YouTube-y. And so it's like, if we see the behind the scenes of how he was seeing it rather than us just being like, oh yeah, like just drop those funny Desi videos. I think that this is going to give us a new perspective on, you know, the way that he thinks, because comedy is one of the toughest things to do, to make people laugh.
Yeah.
So a lot of comedy writers I've seen that like do drama and serious stuff like in a brilliant way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's his name? Jordan Peele. What's his name? Donald Glover with Atlanta.
Yeah.
Like, I think this is going to be great.
I think my biggest question here is, do I have to pay for another subscription?
Yeah, I don't know what Crave is on.
Yeah, what is Crave?
Is it a Canadian thing?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I was like, do I need to buy another subscription?
Yeah.
Do it.
You'll do it?
I'll do it.
Do you think this is going to be good?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, here's my thing is, I felt like if he came back and just did the same thing, there's been so much time that's gone by that have been, and people have been inspired by Just Rain, that now exists outside of him.
Yeah.
And I don't know how well it would hit. Obviously we would love it because it's him, but I don't know how well it would hit if he just came back and did the same thing.
Yeah, no, there's no way he can come back and do the same thing.
I'm glad. And also the time in which that whole era is gone.
Yeah. Like he can't do TikToks anymore. Like, it'd just be weird. Like,
it's different.
Yeah. It's different. But, my only thing with this is because it looks so much like an FX show, I don't want it to be his version of an FX show, if that makes sense.
Oh, you don't? So you're almost like the opposite of my take.
Well, I just think it's going to be another one of those like FX shows.
Okay.
And it's just going to be in the Seek lens or whatever. And it's like, I want it to be unique and different. Like, because when I was like looking at the trailer and stuff, like the music choice that they use for the trailer and stuff like that, I was like, this seems like a lower budget of those FX shows, which I don't blame him for it. I don't, like, he did the best I think he can, but I think the writing just has to, like, you know, be great in order to like make me forget about all the other things. Like, some of the scenes made me think of it as like a TV web series and not like,
you think the quality wasn't there?
Sometimes it was, sometimes it wasn't.
Okay.
But I just don't want it to be like a TV web series. You know what? Like some TV web series, they have that feel.
Yeah.
I think he might be like higher than that, but I hope it doesn't hit that TV web series feeling.
My biggest concern is I don't want it to end here.
What do you mean?
I really hope that there's something that he's either already cooking up or plans on taking it to. Like, I don't want just one thing dropped by Just Rain and then he dips out again.
Yeah.
Like, I
that's
hope
why
this
I'm saying that I think this could be the greatest, you know, case scenario for a segue like that. If he wants to go and do more roles or write his own movies, star in them, I think that telling his story first, because through his YouTube channel, we don't have his story necessarily. We have bits of it.
Yeah.
We have little references. But I think that as a fan, a lot of people will want to see like Just Rain. You know what I mean? Like Just Meet. Who is this guy? And I think this show will serve that. That's why I'm really liking whether it is.
Yeah, Do you also feel like it's slightly delayed?
No, I think it's perfect time.
Okay.
Because for someone like Just Rain, you can respect like when he's able to come out and like respect what he's doing. You like you can kind of be like, all right, do your thing.
Yeah.
And however long you need to take, like do it. Just come back.
Yeah. Like Rami dropped his series and then he just starred in that one movie. What's it called? Little Things?
Yeah, or something like that.
So yeah, I wonder if it is something like that. Maybe it's like the start of his whole acting journey.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, I want it to do well, super well. And maybe this is just like, it is lower budget. And maybe after this, if it does well, it does like insane.
Yeah.
So hoping for the best and I'm excited. And yeah.
The thing is also that if you are such a prominent creator or an artist, then it doesn't matter when you drop. If you are, let's say, like a Logan Paul, right? As many views as he gets, as, you know, as many kind of like platforms he's taken on, like you don't really have much depth, at least from what I've noticed and, you know, the types of stuff he creates. It's just like consistency and volume of stuff. But another Logan Paul will come along, I think. Like, there's going to be a lot of people that just replace. But when you have somebody like Just Rain, like, we don't have, like, yes, we have a lot of brown creators, a lot of brown artists out there, but we don't have Just Rain. Yeah. Like, his lens, his voice is unique to him.
Yeah. Do you think he's going to have a Lily Singh character?
Maybe. I don't know.
Because that'd be kind of spicy.
I hope he has an AK character.
Yeah. That'd be crazy.
They had beef, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
he was on our podcast. If you don't know,
yeah,
I love that Bubbu is in it.
Oh yeah,
Bubbulicious, Bubbu Beard.
Because I think the first trailer he was not in it.
Yeah,
and so I was like, dude, is he like casting his friends? Like, and what I love about this show actually is that he's bringing bits and pieces from his skits on YouTube.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm really like happy about.
It's a developed character.
Like, it's more cinematic. That's what I really love about this show is that like he takes what he had before. And he's making it like grander and bigger.
Yeah.
And like he's having recurring characters come on. So I'm really happy about that.
Yeah. And the guy who looks like white, I think he's a Arab guy. Ahmed, I forget what his last name is, something with a W, but he's a comedian too.
Mm.
I've actually made like promo material for him, like via Ill Muslims and stuff.
Oh, cool. Nice.
The guy who the was like guy. His friend in the show, he looked like he
the
was white.
Guy?
Yeah. I don't think he's white. I'm not sure. I'm not entirely sure, but I think he's Arab. His name is Ahmed.
It's so funny, like with all these shows, the FX shows, you always have like a side character that's a comedian. It's just that's the formula.
But it's great because like with Rami, one of his best friends was Mo Amer, and then Mo went on to do a show.
Yeah,
and again, you see that like they're both Arab, both comedians, but each of those shows had a totally like different kind of like story and perspective, and only those guys would have been able to tell that story.
Didn't both their series just was their name?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that was probably strategic.
Yeah.
It worked. It was simple.
Oh, I think it says coming out on HBO and Stars.
Crave HBO Stars movies. I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe HBO Max is now Max. So Max.
Max.
Let us know your thoughts. Are you excited for this? I think it'll be out by the time we do our next episode.
So maybe we'll come in with reviews.
Watch party.
Okay, let's do flash topics and then close it out.
Per.
Did you guys see this video of Yasiin Bey, aka Mos Def, talking about Drake's music?
Yeah.
On this interview?
Was that where he was saying that it's not hip hop?
Yeah.
He was asked if Drake is hip hop, and he was like, Drake is pop. And he basically said that his music is like shopping music.
Yeah.
Like you could go and select clothes out to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any initial thoughts?
I agreed with it. I don't like disagree.
Really?
Like, yeah. I think he is very poppy. Pop basically means popular. Hip hop. There's a lot of hip hop now that is pop. It's very popular. It's formulaic. You can listen to it anywhere. And I think from his definition from hip hop, it's like, you know, it's not that anymore. And and Drake literally made like a EDM pop album. And I think, I don't know if he got mad, but he reposted like a little story afterwards. He's like, I forgot what it said, but it was kind of throwing a little shade backwards. And people were like, bro, you literally made like an EDM pop album. Like, why are you mad about this?
Like saying how like hip hop's like a lifestyle or something.
Yeah, something like that.
I just feel like, I don't really think that that's that derogatory, to be honest. Like, I was at a store the other day, and I heard that one Rihanna song that was like, a dee 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 da dee 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 da dee day, just call me whenever you're lonely. And I was like, damn, this song is so lit. And I went and I listened to it like 50 times after that. And then I walked to another store, and I was like, wait, this song is so lit. Like, I forgot about the song. So, I mean, it's not the worst thing to be like, they only put those songs in stores because they're so catchy and they like appeal to the greater good. So
yeah.
I don't really look at that as a negative thing. I just feel like it sounds more negative than it is.
Yeah. And also like, I think Drake does have hip hop songs, but like his overall, what most people know him for are the pop stuff, or like is the R&B, like, you know, stuff like that. And I think he does have hip hop music, but overall, if you ask anybody, I think he is like very like popish.
I think it's the way he said it and who said it.
Mm.
A lot of us, we're going to be okay because we, you know, are not taking it personally. And a lot of people coming up in the new generation are like, well, okay, who cares? Like,
yeah, who is this guy?
One, who is this? But two, like, okay, well, it's cool to be pop. Like, we like Drake. It's fine. Drake belongs to multiple generations. And this is somebody that he probably respects. I mean, hip hop respects.
Yeah.
Mos Def, part of Black Star, associated with Talib Kweli. Like, I remember when I discovered Black Star and Mos Def, it was like, I grew up on 2000s hip hop, really, but then like went back and found like, you know, the Tupacs, the Biggies, and Black Star and all this. And I was like, wow, like these guys, they care a lot about, the rap portion and the lyrical component, living the lifestyle they're talking about. And these are not like, like Mos Def, Talib Kweli, they're not like as much the kind of stereotypical old school hip hop that you would think, where people are like, oh, it's about violence and this and that. Like, they really were storytelling. Like, you could think of it as like a Andre 3K. like, people love the way that he tells a story in the way that he crafts words together.
Yeah.
So if you're Drake and you came up on somebody like this, it's got to feel disrespectful.
Yeah.
That you're saying that I'm not part of hip hop. You know, rap, okay, it's great. Rhythm and poetry. We're strictly talking about taking a beat and then putting words together that sound nice after the other and telling some sort of a story.
Mm.
Hip hop, yeah, it is beyond music. It is has been so spread out, obviously being like the number one genre in the recent years, that there are so many subgenres, and within it you have people that do not associate with the other subgenres. So you have like trap music, you have trap hip hop, that like, you know, you have people like Snoop Dogg, who initially was like making fun of the Migos, and it's like, oh, why do you rap like da, 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 da? That's not rap, like that's not hip hop, whatever. You have the new generation of melodic rap and hip hop. And it's like, it's becoming more and more on the side of pop and R&B, and a lot of blending is going on.
Mm.
So it's like Drake has been doing so many different genres, so many different types, that it's like, that doesn't make you not one of those things.
Yeah.
If you star out, like if Morgan Wallen, who's a country star, decides to start doing let's say, like, only pop music. He comes into hip-hop. Let's say he starts rapping because he was in a Drake music video.
Yeah.
Does that mean that he's no longer country?
Sort of.
I mean, it's really? Kind of like how Taylor Swift yeah. is not yeah. really country.
I was going to bring that
but
up.
But did she not make country music?
She made country music,
did,
but she's
but
not,
she's
a,
not
country
a country
artist.
Star.
But she...
She's a pop star.
Okay, she's a pop star, but, like, if you are popular in general, you start becoming a pop star. That would be like, it's like Pharrell makes pop music.
Yeah.
But Pharrell is like Neptunes. He's like, he's associated with Eclipse. Like, he's a hip hop as it gets. He's one of the greatest hip hop producers ever.
Yeah. He's part of the culture, but, like, you know, he sort of is like, Drake sort of like deviated a lot, like taking from different like cultures and whatnot or different subgenres. And with Drake, he hasn't, I think, like, established himself even back then, even back in his prime, like 2010, whatnot. He was still a very popular, like, hip-hop artist, right? Mm-hmm. He wasn't developed in where, like Lil Wayne, like, you know, in that era where...
You don't think so?
Okay, so hip-hop...
Well, by most def, no.
Like, hip-hop as a culture, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You think that Drake has no effect on hip-hop?
No,
I think
does.
He has plenty of effect on hip-hop. But
the
I am,
most, if the not, mo- over yeah. the last 10 years. Come
yeah.
on.
Yeah, yeah, no, 100% agree.
Drake is hip-hop.
But the thing is...
How is he not?
But with these old guys, right, he's not developed in that. Like, post-2010, a lot of these artists are no longer... Like, he's not a J. Cole. He's not like Kendrick Lamar. Those guys are more like hip-hop.
I would argue that he is like a J. Cole.
He's not.
Like, the style of music that J. Cole makes...
Yeah.
The audience that he appeals to, it might not be as broad of a scale.
Yeah.
It might not be tapping into like as far territories as far as like niche genres.
Yeah.
But he makes melodic style rap.
But
he has hooks.
A lot of J. Cole's music is not made for the club.
Okay.
A lot of Kendrick Lamar's music has not been made for the club, but it works in the club. A lot of Drake's music is made for the club.
So if that's like the only kind of like argument, like I've heard this a lot, like
yeah.
people will be like, oh, like nobody plays Eminem in the club and therefore he's not like a great.
No, he's great. He's a
I know, but I'm saying that that's an argument that people make.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, how many Jay-Z songs get played in the club? A few. Is yeah. Jay-Z not one of the greatest, if not the greatest?
This argument's rapper? Not about the greatest or not. It's about like being in rap and hip-hop culture.
Yeah.
And like making music for like, I guess
the masses,
the club and masses.
So you're saying
you
that wait this is because like hip-hop is literally like the most popular genre.
Yeah.
For the masses.
And I said earlier hip-hop is now becoming the more pop, so it does not take away that he is also a pop.
No of course we've yeah. already established that yeah, Drake yeah. is pop.
He's pop, yeah.
But if the category is that, like, if you make music for the masses, which a lot of people are arguing, I'm not saying if you necessarily are.
Yeah, yeah.
If you make music for the masses, you are pop. You are not hip hop. But hip hop is the masses.
Yeah.
I just feel like these older people have a problem with people who are like multifaceted or want to cross boundaries.
No, 100%.
Because even when Nicki went on Kai Cenat's like Twitch.
Yeah.
It was the older people being like, oh, like you're over here like doing this type of thing. And it's like, this is smart. Like, this is how you stay relevant throughout time, being able to cross. Like, for example, even Doja Cat, when she popped up, it's the fact that she was so multifaceted that made her like rise. You know, yeah. like she is a rapper and she is a singer. And yeah. that's what made her like loved by more people. And I feel like as soon as people start doing that, people from more niche areas end up just hating. Yeah.
Okay, so this is why it's important that it's classified as a culture. I think the way that we can relate to Mos Def, what Yasin is saying, is imagine this. You are Pakistani
mm-hmm.
and you like your tradition.
Yeah.
You like food a certain way.
Yeah.
And then what happens when a Pakistani American even starts to dabble with fusion food?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, mocha chai,
mm-hmm.
Gulab jamun cheesecake. What kind of feedback do they get?
Oh, like you're like Westernifying.
You're ruining it.
Yeah, ruining it.
So we have within our culture people like Yasin who are like, don't touch this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't explore, don't change it. It doesn't belong to them, whoever them is, mm-hmm. other than the people who established this thing, pay respect to the greats, the people who came before. And then within our culture, it's a lot of that. Like, we're almost scared that we're going to lose the culture if it gets too blurred with other cultures. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the perspective.
Meanwhilest taking notes.
Huh?
I said meanwhilest taking notes, because I feel like while they're having an issue with it, they're also like taking notes. It's kind of how, like Nikki says, like, they don't want to act like they follow the pink print, but they're following the pink print, you know? Like, they take that formula. They can say they hate Nicki Minaj, but they're using the same formula. They're wearing the colored wigs. They're doing the whole thing. They're talking about their, like, you know what I'm saying? They're, people want to say, oh, I don't like that. And I don't like how you're doing that. And I'm not like you because you deviated. And, oh, you're this or you're that. And for Nicki, they said that she was too theatrical. Yeah. It's like, you're saying that you have an issue, but you see that that brings the most success. And you're also taking notes from it at the same time. And honestly, there's nothing wrong with taking notes, but there's something wrong with hating. Yeah.
But I think Drake is one of the biggest pop artists of all time.
He is.
All his top songs are pop songs. His most selling points, right? To say that, like...
He himself says that. Like, he chases Michael Jackson.
Literally,
he calls himself the king of pop.
Pop star. Like, he literally has a song called Pop Star. Yeah.
But this whole conversation, the reason that people are back and forth about it is because of the value of the person saying it.
No, 100%. And I think I understand why he's saying that, because most people, like, for hip hop guys, you have to stay in hip hop. Like, for, you know, like a Kendrick Lamar, like a J. Cole, those are very, like, hip hoppy songs. We can, like, agree.
I guess it's because he was saying it like a diss. And he
wasn't
need to be diss.
I don't think he was.
I think he was holding back a little bit.
I don't think he was saying it at diss, because he was like, oh, you're going to like get me in trouble, or like, you know, he's like.
He was smiling. I think that this is a conversation that happens behind closed doors a lot with these guys.
Yeah.
I've heard some of them come on mic and say it or like hint at it.
Yeah.
But like, you'll see, like, for example, DMX was like making fun of Drake. And then he asked him for like clearance on the sample for one of his songs. And he's like, oh, yeah, like, I love Drake.
I actually really like this for Drake, actually, because even if you're at the top, like, the people that you respect will give you a bigger chip on the shoulder, and hopefully his next album he goes in.
Yeah,
because I'm tired of this like soft music that he's been dropping. Like, he needs to go hard.
Drake's always had that. That's why we always compare him to LeBron, because it's like, you know, no matter how many championships LeBron has, no matter how many crazy milestones he keeps continuing to crush, he will always be below Jordan. He won't be a real basketball player. It'll always be like the older teams. Oh, you never played with them. Like, he can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
All he can do is be LeBron. Yeah. And Drake, all he can do is be Drake. Like, what would we do if we didn't have Drake? We wouldn't even have this discussion. Yeah. Or like,
yeah.
That's why I like it. It's like, you know, it'll always give him a chip on the shoulder. You know, it's like when you see Ariana Grande happy in a relationship, you don't see an album. You see Taylor Swift facts. Happy in a relationship. Like, music's not as good, you know?
Mm-hmm. We need to feel things.
You need to feel things.
To express things. So.
I love when Drake drops a sassy caption. Like a good sassy caption.
Oh, he's petty.
He's petty. I love it.
And Anita Max.
And I was hoping that he would respond more like that, because honestly, somebody can come out and say a statement, but like, his Instagram caption can be enough of a response. Yeah. It's like, he doesn't even need to have like a whole statement out there. So when he does respond, I'm more like, shh.
Yeah.
You don't even need to do that.
Yeah.
You could just say something sly you can address it without really addressing it in some like poetic way that you do.
Yeah.
I would feel so hurt, honestly.
It would be very hurtful.
Because Drake has always already done this with like Pusha T. He used to look up to Pusha T when he was a kid. Like, he had a signed mic by him, I think.
That's crazy.
Like,
I didn't know.
The clips.
That. Wow.
And, yeah, it's like your idols become your rivals, literally.
Oh.
And that's what I love. It's like, we need to see that more.
Same with MGK. Like, he was a fan of Eminem.
Yeah. And then
then he had to make comments about his daughter.
The funniest thing is, like, with Kanye, you know how, like...
He made comments about his daughter.
Who did? Oh, MGK made comments about... Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And they're, like, close enough in age.
Mm.
Yeah.
But you can't go after Eminem's daughter.
The funniest thing is...
One thing you cannot do.
The funniest thing is with Kanye, like, he just has beef with, like, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And always makes a chip on his shoulder, like, for himself. Just so he makes, like, great music.
What's funny about Kanye is, though, like, literally, when I saw Kid Cudi is on his album again, I'm like, because Kid Cudi was like, this is it. Last straw. Never
again. I'm not talking to that dinosaur.
Drake does the same thing. Everybody that, like ever has anything to do with Kanye says the same thing, and then they're back with him. Like, this is how you know that Kanye is, like, has got to be one of the most influential, greatest names of hip-hop ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Last topic, you had something you wanted to talk about, Golden Globes.
Oh, yeah. So I heard of this Golden Globe, like, show that, like, won a lot, and it was called Beef. I don't know if you guys have seen the show Beef, but I recently just watched it. And yeah.
Okay.
And it was really good.
Amber just put up two middle fingers to question if it was the kind of hatred kind of beef or the animal beef, I believe.
No, isn't that the picture?
Oh.
Yeah, that's a picture.
of the
I thought that was like a quick symbolism of like this kind of beef.
No, I was like trying to process that when she did that, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, because we were talking about buffalo and cows earlier, so I just thought.
The movie poster is like the two middle fingers, and there's people at the end of the middle fingers. Yeah.
But I thought it was like a...
Right. No, I remember.
I heard about the show like, you know, a few months ago or whatnot, but it was like, I heard about these nominations, and I'm like, you know what? Let me watch this. And I like the main character because he's from The Walking Dead and like other things and stuff.
Steven Yeun.
And I thought that show was just like really done really well. And I'm like, oh, interesting.
Talking about Walking Dead or Beef?
Beef.
Okay. Yeah.
Walking Dead.
Finished it?
Yeah, I finished Beef. Have you guys seen Beef?
I haven't. Is it worth watching?
Yeah, I think it is.
I think it is.
I think you would like it.
Yeah. I think you would like
maybe
it.
Maybe I did watch it.
Because it tackles like a lot of family, like marital relationships, like all these like different themes. So I thought it was done really well.
It's just a really like... It's a.
Oh, I do remember it.
Off of
it
a simple good. Kind of like road rage incident.
Yeah.
It's like the spiral of events that take place.
Yeah.
And it really makes you, I think, reflect on your own emotions and reactions to things.
Yeah.
And you see where both of them are in their lives. And it gives you perspective into their lives.
Yeah.
Steven Yeun actually won an Emmy for that show.
Yeah.
And his speech was about that. He was like, you know, that character that I played taught me a lot about empathy.
Yeah.
And it was like it was like an emotional speech for him.
I loved how it was like over the top, but it never passed that line where you're like, oh, no way. Like, I don't believe that. Or, you know, it's just like everything was believable. Like it almost hit that line where you're like, if it went a little bit past it, you're like, OK, this show's fake. This show sucks, whatever. But it never passed that line.
Well, I don't know about if it didn't pass that line. All I know is that, like, it's such a fun show that, like, it makes you grab your bed sheets and be like, oh, no, how can this happen?
Well, let me tell you why it didn't pass the line, because everything made sense. Like, there was a purpose for everything in the show. Like, there was...
I mean, it's, like, sequenced in a...
No. In a way that I'm talking about it all ties toward the end. Like, there's a reason for everything. Why this person is with this person. Why this... happens because of this. It's supposed to symbolize something towards the end and whatnot.
Okay.
So like everything was planted there like on purpose, and like the divide of, you know, who's rich, who's not, you know, all this was placed like in a really, and you think everything's happening at random, which it is, but it all like circles.
It has a lot to do with who they are as people.
Yeah.
I like this show a lot because I'm just so inspired by Asian cinema.
They've been going crazy.
I think that like in the recent years, it's Asian people.
The gong.
You always hit the gong on Asian. You know, it's people who happen to be Asian telling stories that are, you know, it could have, like this show, Road Rage Incident, Sequence of Events, it could have happened with anybody.
Yeah.
But the fact that like Asian people made it, and it has like little references to like their cultural backgrounds, but it's not about that, is I think how you do it properly when it comes to representation. A lot of people are fighting for the past couple of years of like, oh no, like we need to see more of this race. We need to see more of this representation. And then when Hollywood listens to that, and then you see like, that was like, such pandering, and It was like whether it be Marvel, like showing all their female like superheroes in one shot. It's like, okay, that shot was unnecessary. Like, who gives a shit? Like, it's not written for story. Then it's written for the audience to feel represented or whatever. And I get it. Like, to a certain degree, it does something. But nothing makes me, I think, cringe more on a personal basis than when I see like a South Asian or like an Arab or Muslim that's just like there just to fill in that like checkbox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, like, I would rather not have them there almost because it's like, it just feels forced. And then the character's not likable. They seem like a Disney ass, like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's,
I think like I would love to see like, you know, a brown show or something like that where like you don't have to be brown to watch it.
Mm. Right.
Well, never have I ever.
I haven't watched it.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Shami.
What? Sorry. I don't think it's that type of show where you have to watch
it. Okay, so I think that Never Have I Ever and Miss Marvel are overly represented and like put on a pedestal by brown community.
By the brown community, but not the show itself.
Outside of it, like the ratings for Miss Marvel are not good.
But
they were actually really good.
Wait, really?
But people are saying no, it's bad. Like, critics-wise, it's really good, but people are saying it's terrible.
Yeah, because I had seen, like, over and over that, like, don't understand the hype for this, like, it's really bad.
Yeah, people-wise, they're like, why is it rated so high?
And then the movie that her and the other, what are their names?
The three Marvels, girls? The Marvels.
The Marvels? Yeah. Like, it did horrible.
Yeah, that did horrible.
And, so, like...
But Never Have I Ever was a really good show. Like, even though I wish I had that show when I was younger, I, like, as an adult now, really enjoyed it.
And with no brown lens.
It's obviously, I am biased in that way, but it wasn't overly appealing to the brown person to, like, make them feel happy. You know what I'm saying? And it wasn't, like, trying to address taboo issues or anything. They just happened to be brown.
Yes, it was.
Like, how? How was it trying to do that?
Like, whenever it's, like, brown things, it's like, oh, like, white guy...
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's the opposite of that. Like, they're not trying to push that narrative. It's just that she liked a white guy because she went to school with a white guy. You know what I'm saying? It's not like they were like trying. Mindy does that. It's just like that's just who she is. Like, she also wrote Sex Life of College Girls, and her main character is brown, Bella. But it's not at all trying to like push like brown representation. They just happen to be brown.
Yeah,
is that true?
I mean, for, like I said, I guess maybe for me, it's just like, I don't like the corniness of either of those.
Which is fine, but I guess, does that show serve a normal brown girl and just doing normal things? Or is it pushing like some normal brown agenda?
So whenever I watch those and I see everybody celebrating them, then I really do question myself. I'm like, am I just being a hater?
Are you?
And then I see what... like Asian cinema is doing. Yeah. And I'm like, no.
Okay.
They're doing it right.
Yeah.
Because it's also what I value, right? It's like, I value art, story, purpose first.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I understand how representation can be really powerful. But for me personally, like, I didn't have any representation growing up, and I still managed to have really, really amazing role models and people that I looked up to that, like, it didn't matter to me what color or race, whatever they were. It just mattered to me what their story was.
Yeah.
And so I don't relate to that, I guess.
Mm. Well, I'm going to stick my ground. I thought Never Have I Ever was not trying to, like, appeal to the brown. It was just a good show.
That being said, I love when there is culture in a show that especially, like, is shown in a different light. Like, there's YouTube channels that I know that show either, like, Pakistan or India by vloggers, storytellers.
Yeah.
And I think like filmmakers, and I think that like they do a really great job.
Yeah.
Like, it's cinematic. It's like really well told. It captures like the beauty of a place rather than like the stereotype.
Yeah.
Or what you would expect.
I was actually watching The Marvels, and there's a scene where like the Pakistani girl, her family's there, and they're like in space, and they're like about to crash. And the older brother, he's like making dua.
Yeah.
Like in the movie. And then the I think it was Samuel L. Jackson or one of them. He's like, what are you saying? He's like, oh, I'm praying to my God. He's like, can you pray for me too or something? And I was just like, I was actually laughing. I was like, what the heck? I can't believe they put this in like a movie for like what everybody else.
It just takes me out, dude. I don't know what to say. Like, yeah. People like will repost that and be like, oh my God, like he made the one in the show. Like, this is such a powerful, like important moment. I'm like, is it? How did other people say? And no, I'm going to stop.
I need to watch Miss Marvel.
This is not even the show. This is in the movie, The Marvels. The Marvels.
I didn't know that that was a difference. But yeah. Okay.
But Miss Marvel, I think, I don't know. It seemed like if you're brown, you'd like it more. Mm. I don't see how it would serve like a non-brown person.
But I had non-brown people sending it to me, but it felt kind of racist.
Like if you want to watch like Pakistani cinema or something, go watch Mala Jat. Like it's
no,
great.
No,
it's,
but we need something.
In the West.
Yeah, in the West. And like with these Asian movies and shows, you don't have to be Asian or anything. But my representation was Just Rain. Like his YouTube videos, I was like, this is what I need. But television format, you know? Like this is hilarious. I can show this to my parents. I can watch it by myself. But we don't have a television show. Like, so maybe this might be what Just Rain is doing.
Like one really like cool nuanced story is there's actually like a huge skateboard scene in Pakistan.
Oh, yeah.
And there was actually a film made about it. I don't know if I sent it to you or not, but it was a really well-made like documentary
about this. Yeah.
And then there was actually a movie released on Apple with an H.
Wasn't it just called?
Hala.
Oh, Apple TV.
I don't know if it was specifically about anything like that. I didn't actually watch it. But as far as story, that seems like, okay, like this is a story about skateboarding. The girl happens to be in this environment with this background, and we'll see how like her goal of skateboarding is affected by those other things.
Yeah.
And that to me is like, okay, now we have purpose. Now we have a story there. And that's what I see in these like Asian cinema stories that have been coming out. Some like movies that are straight up in Korean. Nobody cares. Like we're watching movies that are with subtitles. You know how hard that is to like bring to Americans?
Yeah. The fact that like Parasite was just like raved, and it was like, you know, that was so nice. And that's what I love when movies like from, you know, different cultures and whatnot, and they make it into the Western market, which is very hard to do.
Oh, Parasite's not an English movie?
No, it's a Korean movie. Oh. Completely in Korean.
Best Picture.
And it won Best Picture. The director went up there. I don't know if, did he speak English? I don't know. All right.
I think he might have made like a joke about like, he said in Korean, like, this shows that even a movie with subtitles can win or something.
Yeah,
and then you were reading the subtitles.
Yeah.
And it was like a very ironic, like funny.
Yeah. So I love it when movies like do that. One of those movies, it didn't even win Best Picture, but it was for Best Original Score or something, or original song. It was RRR. Mm-hmm. And like a lot of white people are like, yo, that movie's amazing. Like that movie's dope. And I love that because I'm like, oh, snap. They like something of ours, or like, I mean, it's not directly ours, but like, you know, we feel a part of it. And then when I watched it, I'm like, oh, this is sick. This is actually dope. And it actually is like really cool that like it can bleed into the Western market.
Yeah. And everything's becoming much more like everybody, you know, you see on Netflix, it's popular. You're more likely to check it out.
Yeah,
we have more multicultural friends. So it's like, there's a chance. Just be authentic. Like, that's why I'm excited about Just Rain's show. Like, it's going to be his actual story.
Yeah. But before we end this, there's one more thing about the Emmys. This show called Better Call Saul sets the record for most losses ever at the Emmys. It received 53 Emmy nominations during its 6-season run and didn't win any of them.
What is it called?
Better Call Saul.
It's like a Breaking Bad prequel.
Yeah.
I guess you want to call it a prequel series.
Better Call Saul. Won 50 or got nominated for 53 nominations. Didn't win a single one.
Did you watch it?
Okay. I watched it.
You finished it?
I finished it.
Were you sad?
I was like so sad.
Yeah.
It's actually a worse ending than Breaking Bad.
Oh, you were sad about the show?
What?
I thought you were... I was asking if you're sad about the losses.
No, because you were like, did you watch it? Did you see the ending? Were you sad?
I was following this line of questioning.
Oh, so you didn't like it?
No, no, I loved it.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
It says 9 out of 10, 98% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's actually an amazing show. I just don't think you'll like it, but...
I actually thought that it was much deeper and, like, on a story level, more, like encapsulating than... Yeah.
Okay, wait, before we talk about how amazing the show is, do you think it deserved to lose this many times?
I honestly don't know what it was up against in all those times.
Yeah.
I don't really watch like Golden Globes or Emmys
okay,
that much.
But in the past 6 years,
yeah.
Do you know six shows that like could have beaten this? I don't know what it won against either, but I just can't think of.
Honestly, when people like mention the shows that they watch, there's so many shows that I like have, I'm like not, you have to be in the world, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You have like to be either you're in the world of that show or you're not.
Yeah. You know what's crazy? There's some people that I know that like work a ton, right? But they somehow find the time yes. to watch every single freaking show. Like, how do you do
like
this?
Every
how?
Popular show.
Every single show.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, oh, I've seen this, like, 20 seasons, yeah. And I'm like, bro, like, it
how?
Takes me a year and a half to finish, like, one show.
Like, if you mention a movie, I can, you know, maybe yeah. jot it down over the weekend, go check it out.
2 hours.
If you've
bam.
Told me, like, if everybody around me is talking about, yo, last season of Game of Thrones, oh my God, I am immediately checked out. I'm like, I'm not in the world. I'm not going to get involved in the world. Sometimes I'll like be curious. Then I'll go on one of these streaming services and then I pull up how many seasons it is. And I'm like 20. All right. This is something that I'm not ever going to get and I'm going to live with it. I'm sorry.
Well, I do sympathize with them because I am that girl though.
What?
Like who ends up just binging shit. Like watching things very quickly. I don't watch
but
everything.
I don't think you've seen a lot.
I haven't seen a lot, but when I do watch,
yeah.
I'm watching that shit so quick. Six seasons,
yeah.
give me a week.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like
that's fair.
When I do watch, I watch.
Yeah, yeah.
And I will watch it all the time until I completely finish it.
I feel that.
Like what brushing teeth, driving.
Oh.
Like eating.
That's crazy.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. Well, because typically when I'm binging a show, I don't need to like watch it. I'll start
no.
treating it like a
you
podcast.
Yeah, you lost
no.
me.
I'm just saying, like, I'm going
there's
to watch
some shows
it.
Like that. Like, yeah. you know, like, you know, the comedy shows that, like,
Insecure, Girlfriend.
Okay, yeah. Like, I could watch that during brushing my teeth. But, like, some drama shows.
You cannot watch Insecure while brushing your teeth.
I don't know. I haven't watched it, but
it
yes,
sounds like
can.
A show. No, like, there's stuff going on.
Yeah, but you just watch it and you brush your teeth and you kind of just, like,
you don't know. Listen to it. Like, it's like, their expressions, like the things that they're doing, like all of that is so important.
I think you have to watch like at least the first season while sitting.
I guess. Okay. So this
but
is also
after
like
after
what
the first season,
it's the way you watch. It's the way you watch. Because to me, like when I'm watching a show, it's so much more exciting than a movie because I'm like looking forward. Like it becomes the nightly, like mm-hmm. when I have everything ready for the next day, when I've got like sometimes I'll like have a bowl of cereal or something and like the lights are dim.
Yeah.
Like it's at a certain time. Sometimes I'm watching a show with like my brother or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, we look forward to that moment. Like I know couples that are like, get everything done. Like we need to watch.
We're watching the show. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm a lonely bitch. I don't have a sibling I can watch it with. I don't have a significant other. So
some people FaceTime and watch shows together.
That's crazy.
Insane.
You know,
absolutely
you know, you can like play it at the same time. Like if I pause it,
yeah,
like
yeah.
it'll pause it for them. I've never done that.
A watch party.
Them long distance motherfuckers.
Yeah.
But okay, well still like look, even I if can, I'm watching it alone, like it's like a special thing to me.
Yeah, yeah, but like I could like listen, by the time that I'm done with everything that I need to do for the day, it's gonna be 10:02. Okay. It's gonna be past 10 o'clock.
That's the best time to watch.
And now I only have 1 hour. I could have cranked out another hour while I like driving to the gym, half
Amber,
hour,
you're
half hour,
like a task.
1 hour.
Yeah.
No, because I need to know what happens.
Are you,
I can't just sit there all day.
I so feel that. But the thing is, I started like at, if I start at 10 o'clock, let's say like you're starting at 10, right? And I'm like, I need to watch the next one. It'll be 4 a.m.
And then I'm
like absolutely wrecked the next day. But it's like I needed
yeah.
to know.
You still feel good after knowing.
But it needs to be in the premise vibe of like how I like to watch it. I'm not watching the car. Like, you're crazy for that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can crank out 30 minutes driving to the gym and 30 minutes back. So that's...
Like, imagine a show like Better Call Saul or Breaking Bad, like watching that, like a quick brushing.
No way.
Bro, you're gonna miss like everything matters.
No way. Sorry. Yeah, but I do understand there are some shows where you can watch while brushing your teeth.
You could probably watch
How I Met Your
Suits or something. Grey's
or
Anatomy.
Something.
Grey's Anatomy.
Like that.
That's a good one.
That's one that you can watch.
But
my dad treated Ertugrul like that. Ertugrul.
Yeah.
It's like
the Turkish drama,
and it has like a million seasons, and each episode there's like 20 or 30 episodes in each season, and each episode is like an hour long, and he was obsessed and couldn't sleep, and he would just binge watch, but he had to be in his room to watch it. So we just didn't see him for weeks.
He knows.
We didn't see him for weeks.
Yeah.
And every time we'd see him, he'd have like bags under his eyes. His eyes are red. And I'm like, it's okay to stop.
My brother knows exactly what show I'm watching all the time because I start to become like one of the characters or like I start like making references and stuff like all the time because I get extremely obsessed.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the way I like to watch. I'm like, we're in it.
Yeah.
This is my life right now. Like, you have to understand.
And I start really walking annoying. Like them. Yeah. I'm like, I wear like a certain coat. And I'm like, this is so Serena.
Bro, trust me. I had jury duty. I told you guys.
Oh, what happened?
They are so lucky that it got canceled.
Mm.
Because I watched the show you told me to watch, Jury Duty.
Uh-huh.
And I was about to go in there and start staring and looking for cameras and thinking that everybody around me is an actor.
Did you finish it?
I finished it.
Okay, I haven't finished it, but
I got obsessed and I was like, I need to know.
Mm-hmm.
And then because I had jury duty coming up, I was like,
I need to finish it before I go.
I was like, oh my God.
Was it good?
We're in. Yeah. Okay. It's definitely like, I'll just say this much, like as a social experiment, it's so fascinating to see how somebody would react and then like see how the producers and all the other actors like are putting up this front. If you don't know, Jury Duty is a show where one member of the jury thinks that it's a real case and everyone around him is actors, including the judge, including the lawyer.
How do they even get the person to believe it's real?
They thought that they were part of like a documentary about serving the jury. And so like anything like that where it's like a social experiment and like you are vicariously like kind of seeing like, you know, what you would do, and like then you're just on edge. I'm like, oh my God, I gotta go jury duty. Like, everybody's gonna be an actor. I'm not gonna fall for this. Like, I'm already that way. Like, I already think that it's freaking what's it called, the Truman Show. So that show, I was like, oh, hell no.
Yeah.
Like, I'm even more paranoid now.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, but getting back to the point.
Yeah.
What was it?
Better Call Saul.
Oh.
I just don't know what other.
You know what's funny?
What?
It's not funny, but like, Bob Odenkirk.
Odenkirk. Oh, yeah.
He freaking had like a heart attack.
He had a heart attack on the set.
He came back and finished the show for the people.
And he still didn't win like any Emmys or anything. And like, it was a really good show. At least one of the seasons, it should have deserved something. Mm. Something. But
it sucks.
You know, that everybody put their heart and soul into that show and didn't win.
By the way, that one is also like takes place in the courtroom. And I don't know if it's just me, but like courtroom stuff is so exciting.
Yeah.
I think the way they make it, because it doesn't seem very exciting. Like if you go on a normal day,
Yeah, I've been to traffic court plenty of times. Even that is like, I don't know. It's just like the I've never watched Suits. I think I would
have
probably
to watch
enjoy
Suits.
It.
Oh my God!
But like the kind of, like order of it. It's like everybody knows what to do, and I'm like when I go up and like I have like a violation, like I was speeding and shit. I'm like, yes, Your Honor. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, please, Your Honor. And I'm like, what am I doing? Like, in my head, I'm like, bro, this is so wild. Like, I'm saying Your Honor.
I feel like one day I'm going to be like, yes, Your Majesty. And be like,
oh, shit. Yeah, like some people were kind of like not doing it. And I was like, dude, show your respect. Like, they were like, sir. I'm like, this guy doesn't get it.
Yeah.
Like, anyways. Okay. Sorry. We were on this topic. Another show I'm going to recommend is The Bear.
Oh, yeah, I watched 75% of it.
Okay, my brother and I are watching that right now.
What's up with you not finishing shit?
Yeah.
It's so hard,
You don't finish anything?
It's so hard.
You just watch most of it?
I've been watching Avatar for the past year.
Why don't you watch one thing, finish, and then watch the next thing?
Because something else cool, like, intrigues my attention. It's, I don't have ADHD, but, like, I have ADHD with shows.
I have ADHD, but I'd be watching the shit out of shows.
I have ADHD with shows.
Like, Shami, you're never going to be able to make a child this way. You're just going to be like... just finish later.
Leave her off at 6 months.
You can't keep doing this, man.
Unless a show's really good, then I'll finish it all the way through. But
you don't even know.
And it's so funny because
after half the show, you know if it's good or not.
I don't like how
it's funny because Shamir, if he finds out,
you don't know if a show is not good, but halfway through.
No,
like
I know by the first episode. Yeah,
exactly.
Unless everybody has said that, like, just get through the first episode.
There's no reason to watch 75.
I'll come back to it. It's not that serious.
Like,
I'll come back to it.
At that point, you should have known at the second episode, the third episode.
I like the show, but not enough to be like, oh, I can finish it later.
But then everything gets tied up and you can, like,
nothing gets tied up.
Better.
I can separate my, you know, thought points of the show, whatever.
You're wrong about this.
Yeah.
You can't just get, like, almost to the end and then be like, yeah, I'm good.
Why are you edging your shows, bro?
No, I'm not good. I'm going to finish it. It's just later.
Okay, here's the thing. Like, what I was saying about, like, you're in it, like you owe it to them. What are you doing? Like,
and to yourself.
If you okay, come we do back this, like we a do year this. Later.
Hold on. You watch a season of a show.
Yeah.
Second season comes out a year later. You do it anyways.
No, but I need like a little
like
recap
what?
Back.
Like recap?
If you're going to watch a whole season?
No one does this. But everyone does what I do, by the way. Everyone does what I do.
Which is what?
A show comes out, season one. Season two is not out yet. Mm-hmm. You wait. Regardless, you watched 100% of the show.
It's giving iPad baby.
It eventually becomes 50% of the show.
Oh, because you never watched
because
the second season?
You don't watch the second season yet, and then you get to it.
No, because Shamir, you're doing it wrong.
What
you have
mean,
to wait till all the seasons are out and then watch a show.
Also, I need to talk about it. Like, I immediately watch a show, and then I am subbed to the subreddit immediately.
Yeah. Like,
you're not doing that for years straight. You're not doing that for years straight.
What do you mean?
Like, if you're watching a show while it's coming out, you're not talking about it.
To be fair,
in between.
He is watching things as they come out, and I can't relate. That would drive me insane. Yeah.
No, you are because like, for example, The Boys.
Yeah.
Like, before the last season, I was on the subreddit.
Are you still talking about it? Are you still, like, on the subreddit?
I was on the subreddit right after I watched the season before this one.
Yeah.
And then people were talking about, like, what's going to happen next, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And then when the next season came out, like, we're back on the subreddit, like, it's hype again.
Yeah, yeah. But you're not fully talking about it every time. So when I'm watching a show, I just watch, you know.
Because it's like, okay, when school is happening, right? Yeah. Like, everything is live. Like, oh, who's dating who? Like, oh, sports team, this and that. When school's out, it's like, all right, like, I'm going to hang with my clique. Maybe I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to go on vacation. It's not as live. As soon as we get back in school, it's like, what's happening? What happened? Like,
exactly.
What I miss.
I agree. And like, I do the same thing.
So why are you not taking your final exam?
I do the same
you
thing.
You dipped out before the semester was over.
And then I come back and I'm like, yo, what's happening?
Yeah, but they're like,
when I'm ready, It's not when the show's ready. It's when I'm ready.
Yeah, but then there's like
not mentally ready to finish the show. That's why I dip out and I'm like, you know what? Let me start this other show that's more exciting. Let me get the beginning, the best pilot.
See, I can't even talk about The Bear with you then. And this is so funny because Shamir, like, when he finds out I'm watching something that he really likes, like, he did this with Breaking Bad, like, he would sit there and watch episodes with me because he wants, like, to see me in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he himself is just leaving it hanging. Mm.
Shamir, so disappointing.
I like leaving it hanging.
but not in too long because then it'll make a baby.
Yeah.
But he's going to leave that baby at 6 months.
See, I've been disappointed by so many shows by watching till the end that it's like, there's no point.
You're watching the wrong shows.
Oh, this is like a trauma thing.
Yeah. You need to go to therapy and talk about this.
Yeah, I've been messed up by Game of Thrones. I've been messed up by Dexter.
You should listen to...
I've been messed up by...
Okay, so
Weeds
I didn't watch
bit.
Those because it was like, the vibe was off from
the
beginning.
The vibe was off.
If you, like, ask me for a vibe check of, like, a show or a movie, I'll tell you, like, what I'm feeling, and then it'll probably be a bad ending. Just letting you know.
No, but the thing is,
I'm always like Game of Thrones. I could have told you that.
No, there's no way.
What do you mean?
It literally had the biggest amount of viewers of all time.
That's a problem.
So it's gonna be an ultimate letdown.
It was the ultimate letdown.
It's like meant to be.
But it was getting so good. It got better and better and better.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, final thing, Golden Globes-wise. Did you guys see Rami?
How many final things are we going to have?
I had three final things. This is my last final thing.
Okay. The last final thing.
This is the season finale. Shamir, you can take your headphones off and go out of the door because this is my last thing.
What, Rami season three?
No, no.
Oh.
I was just going to say because it's my last thing. Oh, and gotcha. You don't like to get to the last
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
Mm. Did you guys see Rami Yusuf kiss Mark Ruffalo on the lips?
No.
This is the time where I like leave before that. I don't.
Why?
Because they won for that movie you were saying, Little Things, I think, with Emma Stone. Okay. Is that what it's called?
It hasn't even been out that long for them to be winning shit.
No, but like they'll submit everything. The critics, like, they get it ahead of time and all that. But yeah, it was
on
like,
stage he kissed?
Yeah, it was like unexpected. Rami grabbed Mark while they were winning on the table. And then he just like went in for a big smooch.
I don't like that. Yeah, he did do that.
And then I saw like Arab Twitter being like, "Yep, this is why Rami's went Hollywood, blah blah blah." And then I saw that he posted it immediately on his Instagram because I don't know if he was like expecting to do that, not expect, but I think he got ahead of like the backlash.
Yeah,
before it was gonna happen, mm-hmm. And he also made like. Comments about Palestine stuff on the red carpet, but that's not going to get popular.
Wait, what did he do to get ahead of the comments?
He posted it on his own Instagram.
He posted a kiss?
Yeah.
LOL.
Huh?
I just said LOL.
Oh. So, yeah.
Okay, let's leave.
With a kiss? it's been another week.
Wait. We have something after this.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Make sure you join us for the Patreon. We're going to talk about kissing. We're going to do the poop thing. Mm-hmm. So if you guys want to see us poop, come through the Poop-treon. Poop.
And also, I just want to say this. We don't ever say this, but like, buy the merch. Do you like us or not? I just want to know.
Don't guilt trip them.
No. Don't yell at them because they don't know that the merch exists.
Yeah, they don't know.
Okay. I just want to let you know if you want to make an early investment, like let people know like, yo, I bought this back way back.
Yeah.
Like don't wait till the season finale. Don't wait till the subreddit of Strange Flavor starts where people are like, oh, what did you think about Shamir on this episode? Oh my God. Like is Amber going through something? Like what's going on? Like, you know what I mean?
Before it gets too hype, get in here.
So if you want to be an early investor into this show, this community, this culture, before they call us not podcast material, before a Mos Def of podcasts comes along and says like, yo, they're not really podcasters. You know, Joe Rogan comes along and he's like, yo, Strange Flavors.
Can you finish? Sorry, that was really aggressive.
Buy the merch.
Buy the merch. And then, yeah, join our Patreon. We have bonus episodes.
Link in bio. Sorry, I went on to like a little thing there.
It's okay. Didn't mean to end it so abruptly.
I was gonna keep going, so it's probably good. But we're gonna keep it going on the Patreon, and next week it's been another week,
another flavor.
Oh, and a little stranger.
We'll talk to you next time.